We've been talking about the procedure for performing the lashes, how they are performed, what they are performed, and now we're going to go on to what is recited while these lashes are being performed. Vakore kore, the reciter recites, im lo sishmor lasos vegomer, if you do not keep guard to do as follows. And here it's valuable to have the entire verse. The Mishnah does not quote the entire verse, but it's helpful to see the whole thing. Im lo sishmor lasos es kol divrei haTorah hazos haksuvim besefer hazeh, if one does not keep to do all of the words of this Torah that are written in this book, liyiraz Hashem nichbad ve'onora hazeh es Hashem Elokecha, to fear God who is honored and awesome, to fear Hashem your God. And now the Mishnah goes on to say another verse. The next verse, this is all in Deuteronomy. V'hifla Hashem es makoscha v'es makos v'gomer. And again, it doesn't give us the whole verse, but I'll read the whole verse as it appears in Deuteronomy. V'hifla Hashem es makoscha v'es makos zarecha. And Hashem will perform a plague on you and a plague on your offspring. Makos gedolos v'ne'amanos. Terrible plagues. V'chalim raim v'ne'amanim. And terrible illnesses. So if you don't keep the Torah, you will suffer terrible plagues, but that word for plague is maka, like a lash, like a whacking. And so these are the verses that get recited while the lashes are being performed. So we've already seen the person is undressed as a way of degrading them. And there's really a goal here. I mean, this can be deeply problematic, deeply abusive, but also we understand that it's not lashes for the sake of lashes. It's lashes that are meant to educate. Whether this is the best way to educate or not, people can disagree about. But the idea here is that as the person receiving lashes, they're also receiving the moral message that this is happening because you did not keep God's Torah. And then one returns to the beginning of the verses. In other words, it sounds like you would say those two verses over and over again until the person being lashed has received the full complement of their lashes. Now, the next couple of lines are not present in some of the manuscripts, but we'll cover them anyway. It seems to be just more verses that one could potentially recite while doing these lashes. Ushmartem es divrei habris hazos, you should keep the words of this covenant, Vasisem osam, and perform them, laman taskilu es kol asher ta'asun, so you will be successful in all that you do. And now the Mishnah continues, v'chosem, and you conclude with this verse from Psalms, which is a regular verse in our davening as well, v'hu rachum yichapar avon v'lo yashchis. God is merciful, atoning, forgiving sin, v'chosel eskilas ha'mikra, and then one can go back to the beginning of that as well. And so the idea here seems to be that we're in these additional verses that are not in all the manuscripts of the Mishnah, that we're not only reciting, you're getting this bad thing because you did bad things, but also, if you do right, you will actually succeed, you will prosper, and God is indeed merciful, and God will forgive you for your transgressions. The Mishnah now goes on to some very practical questions of what happens if, God forbid, the person suffering the lashes dies under the suffering from these lashes. V'im meis tachas yado, pater. If the person receiving the lashes dies as a result of the lashes, then the chazan haknesses, that communal official who's performing the lashes, they are exempt from punishment. This is understood to mean because they were doing what they were doing as an agent of the court, as an agent of the Bezdin, and so it's not really their own action. Hosif lo od ritzua achas v'meis. However, if they did an additional lashing and the person died, hare ze gole al yado. If I accidentally lash you too much, then you are exiled, then the person doing the lashes is exiled as a result of the person who died from your lashing too much. And this brings us back to the second chapter of Makos, when we were talking about accidental death. The idea here seems to be that the person lashing too much, they're not fully responsible, but they're not fully exempt either, right? They've done something wrong, but it's kind of an understandable mistake. They were doing what they were supposed to do as an agent of the court, but they weren't paying sufficient attention. They screwed up, and now they have to go into exile, the punishment for accidental murder, accidental manslaughter, as was talked about in the second chapter. Nis kalkel bein berei bein b'mayim pater. If the person being lashed was degraded, was niskalkel, we'll see, literally was soiled, whether with feces or with urine, they are exempt. So if the person receiving lashes, as a result of suffering these lashes, loses control of their bodily functions and soils themselves, they are exempt. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, however, Rabbi Yehuda, whom we've seen now multiple times already being stringent in our chapter, Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, Ha'ish berei va'isha b'mayim. it is true for a man that he is exempt only if he soils himself with feces. However, if he merely urinates, that does not exempt him from receiving more lashes. But a woman who soils herself with urine, that is sufficient. Not totally clear why Rabbi Yehuda genders this, other than the idea that in general, he seems to be having an assumption that women are perhaps more fragile or perhaps more socially degraded by embarrassing things happening. Whatever the context, whatever Rabbi Yehuda might have in mind, he makes a gender distinction and says that men are only exempt from further lashes if they actually soil themselves with feces. Women, however, even if they merely they're in a bit of scare quotes, merely soil themselves with urine, they are exempt from any further lashes.